Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is Greg Pruitt, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
Hey guys, J-Rock here from The Sports Fix, and we always talk about using our platform to try to help the world and the society we live in, and everywhere I go and everywhere we go, bullying is one of the problems in today's society. There's nothing worse than any person, big or small, strong or weak, adult or child, feeling picked on, pushed around, vulnerable, and victimized at the hands of a bully. Change comes one person at a time, and my good friends at No Such Thing as a Bully are working on skills and techniques and ways that we can all change and make things better for everyone. Find out more at NoSuchThingAsABully.com.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Fantasy Jocks. Visit FantasyJocks.com, your fantasy sports superstore. Championship belts, rings, trophies, and more.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
See if I remember how to do this. There we go. They're live on the air. Welcome in, everybody. It's been... tell you what, seriously, behind the scenes, it's been one incredibly tough week, and I don't mean technically or anything that has to do with the doohickeys that run the show. I mean in my personal life. This has probably been this has definitely been one to remember for a while, and a lot of things that I don't need to go into here that I don't want to go into here. Maybe one day I will, but I just want to thank many of you guys who have reached out behind the scenes. I mean, it's been a tough week. We haven't been on the air since Monday, as you guys know. And definitely some reasons for that. And again, I appreciate you guys that have been with it, that have been cool with it, that have reached out and sent some messages and all of that. And again, I appreciate it. Hey, I'm glad to be in here on Friday, end of the week, and able to jump in, even if it's going to be a shorter edition of the show, probably just about an hour or so. I just doomed it now, but probably looking to be a shorter edition of the show today. But I was just glad to be able to crack this mic, get back on the air today. Not going to do it by myself either. Mike Brandenberry is going to join me from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. We're going to talk a whole lot about the NBA Finals here. That's going to be probably the majority of this bad boy right here, as we're going to talk about. I haven't been here all week. Games 2 and 3 and game 4 last night, as we now sit with a best of 3 series. Winner is taking home all the marbles here in the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about all of that. Mike's going to join us. We'll talk some Indians as well as they finish up a homestand here. Now they have the Tigers looming on the road. We'll get into that. Mostly talking about the Cavaliers, of course. We've got some other things to get into, news coming up this weekend and all that. Let's just get rolling with it. Doing the Sports Fix thing. Glad to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's rock and roll. This is the Sports Fix. I am J-Rock, the big daddy on the microphone. Jerry Myers got so many nicknames. You can call me whatever you want. Well, Jerry Myers isn't a nickname. That's the one my mama gave me. All the rest of them have been bestowed upon me here. But thank you guys, no matter what you call me, for being here. Weekdays, noon, when we get around to doing it, it seems, live across the Sports Fix Radio Network on TuneIn, TuneIn's radio app. Matter of fact, speaking of, those of you that follow us on TuneIn, I've mentioned over the last few weeks that there's been some changes. Some people would lose some things, and then we would transfer services over. A lot of different problems with some of the distribution, and it was short term. TuneIn as well was one of those that was affected, not live, but the archived versions of the show. We had to switch our archive feed over there, and it took about 10 days for them to catch up with us as well. But now everybody who follows us on TuneIn, not only, of course, live, you've been fine, but you've now got access to the full archives again. We've caught back up with iTunes as well, as they've now relinked the correct set of archives there. Pretty much everything is back intact, with the only difference being SoundCloud. We have opted to drop SoundCloud as an option for distributing the show. To be totally honest, they simply, for what they were providing and the value that it was returning, it was really just, it was kind of negligent, and it was very simple to simply switch some things over. So SoundCloud no longer in the equation. However, everything else has been switched over. Stitcher, iTunes, as I mentioned, TuneIn back in effect. So thank you guys for being patient with that as well. A whole lot of patience here with you guys. But welcome in, listening live, TuneIn, TuneIn's radio app, Spreaker, Mixler, all live and doing the thing every day. Digital Delay, iHeartRadio. Welcome in the thousands of you around the world who listen on Digital Delay 24/7 on iHeartRadio. And speaking of that, today, as we've been switching things over and checking things out, iHeartRadio, from the day that they added the Sports Fix, oh man, what's it been, a year, 15 months now that they've started distributing us? I was amazed when I checked the numbers this morning. iHeartRadio has gone from a very small percentage of what we've done to a very large percentage, which is a good thing, because it has really shown that the show has begun to take hold there across iHeartRadio. We're at 44% of the plays that we've had in the last 30 days were coming from there. And over the last 6 months, it's at a solid 35%, which means the last 6 months, it's grown at a nearly 50-50 clip. I mean, iHeartRadio really doing a great job and being a great platform of getting the show out there. So whether you listen there, however you enjoy the show, thank you guys so much for doing it and being here with us. And let's rock and roll. The phones are open. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. The number to call if you can't get through, or if you're using your phone to listen to the show, hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, email, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. Email us, thesportsfix@aol.com, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. Email us, daddy, thesportsfix@aol.com. And let's start where I said. We're talking Cavaliers right off the bat. And, you know, I'll go backwards later. When Mike's going to join me, Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. He'll be in the house just about 7-8 minutes from now. So we'll go back a little bit and recap as well. Cavaliers, of course, bounced back from game one. Back-to-back, we talked about this a little bit on Monday. We're able to tie the series, brought it back to the queue here with those back-to-back overtime games. And, man, the energy, the Cavaliers really, all of the first three games of this series have forced the tempo to be at their pace. They've played the style that they have really dictated everything, tone, tenor, pace of the first three games of the series. That game three, up until the run at the end by the Golden State Warriors, the Cavaliers were pretty handily winning that one from buzzer to buzzer. And, you know, you could really feel the Cavaliers were putting their foot down on the throat of the Golden State Warriors. They had really started to impose their will as far as I said, the tempo of the game, the physical style, the although don't get me started on the physicality, the officiating and all that stuff. I'm sure that's going to come up in our conversations here. But yesterday you saw what happens in a great series. I should also reference that as game four. For those of you that aren't listening live here on a Friday, you'll be yesterday. They didn't even play. But in game four here at Quicken Loans Arena, which was it was the season for the Golden State Warriors in game four. There was no way that they could afford to fall down 3-1 there to the Cavaliers. I mean, that was plain as day. You could see it in their body language. We talked about that before with the, you know, look back to, you know, certain games like game four against Atlanta, that with the way the Cavs came out and just you could see it in the eyes. That's what Golden State had last night. They made some adjustments in the lineup, and that is what happens when you have a series of great teams playing against each other. Teams put their initial stuff down, and then you adjust. And then you adjust to the adjustments and so on and so forth as you go through. And that's really an example of what we saw here. And, I mean, the Cavaliers last night, they were a team that just, to me, I'll tell you defensively, for real, defensively, I'm not incredibly upset. Yeah, there was definitely times, especially as the game got later, that there was just some bad defensive rotations and some easy shots and easy dunks, easy layups, things like that were gotten for Golden State. But, I mean, you still kept Golden State around the 100-point mark, right around where you wanted to be defensively. I mean, the 82 points that the Cavaliers scored is the problem. Had they offensively been able to simply maintain the level that they had throughout the rest of this series, they would have had a shot to take that game there yesterday. But they just offensively, you can't go through the performances that they did. And, I mean, it's across the board. I mean, we talked about, you can say all in, next man in, all of that. There are limits to everything. I was talking to my brother Dave here, as a matter of fact, just a few hours ago before the show. And you know, it was the one part that I kept coming back to in our conversation. I said, man, I said, it's talking to you is a lot like talking to some of the people that I talk with on the show. It's that, to me, there's more than just looking at the X's and O's of things. I mean, the Cavaliers, in doing what they did in the first three games of the series, in imposing things the way they did, I mean, as you see, when you're going short, what's a seven-man rotation here for the Cavaliers? And yes, Golden State's done that as well now, too, which actually cuts into the depth that they have, which is a strength. But, I mean, at some point, there's limitations everywhere. Adeli, you could see the legs, the jump shot was just a little heavy there, man. You could see it, whether you're talking Smith, Shumpert, Dellavedova, all of those guys. You could really just see the energy was all Golden State last night. Whereas in the first three games, it was really all Cavaliers. Even in that first game, the Cavaliers, they out-hustled, they out-energied, they out-did all of those intangible things to the Golden State Warriors. Last night, it appeared the opposite was true, and that has to be expected, especially when you look at the way the Cavaliers, I mean, look at the effort expended. You had the back-to-back overtime games, and you can say Golden State played the same, but that's where the depth of Golden State plays in, because the depth of the Cavaliers would be there too if it wasn't already worn out by the guys that weren't there. This is no excuses. I still believe the Cavaliers, I think that the stage is set for the Cavaliers to win this thing back in Cleveland. We'll get into that in a minute. So there's still a whole lot of work to be done. And what a fortuitous final extra day for the Cavs here. You get that one extra three-game gap here before you get to Game 5 on Sunday. And it gives that little bit of extra rest, a few extra hours for these guys before you go into that final stretch next week of three games in 5 days, theoretically, and who's going to be the champion. Because the Cavaliers, they were heavy legs. They just didn't have that same energy. And LeBron practically admitted that he was toast for the fourth quarter. And I haven't even got into the fact that I am shocked at the NBA. And I understand letting the stars play. I'm shocked that they let LeBron stay in the game there without at least giving a cursory attempt at the concussion protocol and making sure that I've seen them take guys out of the game for a paper cut on their finger and make them go get it band-aided up. But I understand that in the biggest stakes, you don't want that. The concussion thing kind of got me, because am I the only one that thought that there was a slight difference perhaps in the mental focus? Hey, and you know what? I was talking to people about this. I said maybe some of that isn't so much hitting the head on the camera as much as the effect of the fatigue mentally as well, because LeBron talked about it. I mean, when he wasn't able to get any more rest there at the end of the third quarter and you finally cut the lead all the way down, it took so much energy. Cavs really expended the last of what they had, that last bit of juice in the third quarter there. And in that 10-0 run, when it went from a three-point game back to a double-digit lead again for Golden State, that, in all effectiveness, sealed the deal there for the Cavaliers, locked things out. And LeBron talked about it. I mean, even there, he couldn't even get 2 full minutes of rest before he had to come back in the game to stop the bleeding. And at that point, what can you say except absolutely? I mean, it was obvious. I go back to from the beginning. The Cavaliers, you would have thought with that initial run that they were going to run the Warriors out of the building. But Steve Kerr did a great job, took a quick timeout. And look at the narrative. By the time you were at the end of the first quarter, the die was already cast for this one here. The switch to Iguodala obviously made a difference there. He defends LeBron well, but I mean, going small, sacrificing up top, you're going to give him the big man, and Mozgov was able to have a bigger day because you're going to limit Bogut. You're going to limit, you look for key things out of Lee there. I mean, but by going with that lineup, they were able to change the pace, and that's really what Golden State needed to do. They needed to do what the Cavs had done in the first three games, and I think they were able to do that more, but I still say it was a lot of the Cavaliers not making their shots. I think that that's the biggest story to perhaps be overlooked from this here, but is offensively the performance was just abysmal by the Cavaliers, and it led to the victory that we saw for the Golden State Warriors. This series now tied at 2, 3 games left, 2 of them in Oakland, including Game 5, which is on Sunday. Going to be a huge one there, because that, to me, that's going to really, I mean, look, you can lose Game 5, come back and win 6 and 7 for either team, but we all know there's differences, there's realities, there's what could happen and what will happen. I mean, Game 5 is a big one here. LeBron tried to downplay it, and I understand where he's coming from. He knows, hey, I've gone into series needing to win the final 2 games. He pointed to Boston a few years ago when he was with the Heat and being able to pull out the huge Game 6 and Game 7 that he did, but you don't want to be there. You don't want to put yourself there. Neither team does. Game 5, going to be big here, especially coming back to Cleveland. And for those of you here in Cleveland, you think the atmosphere was raucous for Games 3 and 4. Game 6 is going to ratchet it up to another level, and we're guaranteed to see it on Tuesday. Cavaliers fall. Cavaliers and Golden State now tied at 2 here, heading into a best of 3 in the finals of this series. I'm going to take a break and get right back with Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Pick up this conversation about Game 4, Games 2 and 3, what's coming ahead here for the Cavs and the Warriors in Game 5. We're going to get into all of that. Curry stepped up last night after a tough couple of games. Delly, I mean, again, the heavy legs offensively and defensively, you could see that there. Let's get into this some more. Let's talk Tribe, or excuse me, talk Tribe as well here. Giovanni Urshela not only called up. I know Mike Brandenberry has been looking forward to that for a while. We've talked about it before, but he gets his first couple of hits in the big leagues as well. Sean Markham getting things going for himself as the Indians at least salvage the end of that homestand. Not what you hope to see heading into Detroit. We're going to talk Cavs, Indians, Tigers, so much more here. We're going to start with the NBA Finals, and we're going to pick it up right there with Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Coming up next after the news here on The Fix. Yeah.
Get your fix.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
It's The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, before we go to the break, I want to talk to you a little bit again about our good friends at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, some of the hottest fights in the world today. Each and every one of their huge events Harry Buffalo is one of the few places in Northeast Ohio you can go there and watch each and every UFC fight at the Harry Buffalo. And let me tell you, I've been there. The people are out the door. They are to the rafters. It is one of the craziest environments for some UFC fights. Wing Mondays, they've got great deals on wings and drinks. And every day of the week, there's a different special, a different deal. And don't forget the Bison Burger, the unbelievable. It is the combination of a fantastic burger and eating healthy combined into one unbelievable sandwich. You have got to get a Bison Burger while you're there. So whatever you're looking for, whatever day of the week, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sundays, there's something for you at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. Check them out today. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Fantasy sports lovers, you put so much time, hard work, and effort into playing week to week that it quickly stops being a fantasy and starts getting real. And when the smoke clears, you want to show off those victories with a real prize.
I mean, a really real prize.
Nobody does that like Fantasy Jocks. The crew over at Fantasy Jocks have beautiful, high-quality, and heavy-duty championship belts, rings, trophies, and so much more for all your fantasy sports needs. There's literally only one place to go. FantasyJocks.com. Sports Fix listeners, do you tweet? So do we. So tweet with us 24/7 at the Sports Fix CLE.
We're going to bring it on in. It's time now. It's all city. We got to do it for them, dog. We got to do it for Cleveland. They're waiting on us.
Every single night, every single practice, every single game, we got to give it all we got. Because they're going to ride with us. Everything that we do on this floor, because of this city, we owe them. We're going to grind for this city. They're going to support us, man, but we got to give it all back to them. We get it done. The toughness that we have on the court is going to come from this city. Everybody, the whole city of Cleveland. That's what it's all about. It's time to bring them something special. Let's go. Bring it on in, everybody. Let's go. Hard work on three. Together on six. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Four, five, six.
Together.
One, two, three.
Hard work.
Four, five, six.
Together.
Together.
Together. Together.
Together. Together. It's all us. Cleveland on three. One, two, three.
Three.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Good morning, I'm Bob Picozzi. It was the 101st game of the season for the Warriors, and the first time Andre Iguodala was in the starting lineup. In Cleveland, he scored 22 points and helped limit LeBron James to only 20 in a 103-82 Golden State win, so the Warriors even the NBA Finals at 2. So Coach Steve Kerr's lineup change made the difference, right?
I don't think the biggest difference was the starting lineup or the adjustment. I think the biggest difference was we played a lot harder.
Game 5 will be Sunday night in Oakland, 7:30 Eastern time on ABC, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. The U.S. can advance into the round of 16 in the Women's World Cup with a win tonight over Sweden in Winnipeg. The Americans have advanced to the knockout round of the tournament in all 6 previous World Cups. New Browns quarterback coach Kevin O'Connell thinks there's a chance that Johnny Manziel can beat out the favorite Josh McCown for the starting job. In the second round of the FedEx St. Jude Classic in Memphis, Ryan Palmer is 6-under for the tournament. He's played 4 holes today. He's tied for the lead with Brooks Koepka and Greg Owen.
Custom Ink is the fun, easy way to design custom T-shirts for any occasion. Get started in the online design lab with hundreds of fonts and amazing artwork. You'll even get free shipping. Visit CustomInk.com to order your custom T-shirts today.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact-seeker and a truth-teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Right, it's a jungle, baby. Welcome to it. Welcome back to the Sports Fix here. J-Rock back with you. Mike Brandenburg going to join me in just a second. We're talking NBA Finals, the Cavs and the Warriors. And I see some of you calling in during the break, leaving some takes. We're going to play those in the next segment, so sit tight. Don't worry about that. Keep the calls coming in, 216-539-7535. J-Rock here, the Sports Fix back. Real quick, listening to the news update before I pull Mike up, a couple of notes. I will say that I totally agree with what Steve Kerr said. I'll tell you what, while we were out this week, Kobe Bryant nailed it during the game the other day when he said, watching the game, he said, the Cavaliers are playing like a team that wants to win a championship, and the Golden State Warriors are playing like a team with a whole bunch of more NBA Finals games to play. I mean, really, the difference in their effort last night was huge. And again, it's adjustments to the adjustments. And now, what do the Cavaliers have to come back to that? The other thing during that news break, and I'm just gonna quickly move on from that. And I'll tell you what, thank you for coming home, LeBron, for the fact that we don't have to talk about this until next month. But I don't know what was more pathetic in that sentence during the news break. That the Browns think Manziel can be the quarterback, or that Josh McCown is the quarterback. Ugh, unbelievable. Thank you, Cavs, for keeping us going and not having to talk about that stuff for a while. Welcome back in. J-Rock here. Mike Brandenburg from DidTheTryWinLastNight.com joining me in a moment. You can keep it going. Facebook and Twitter, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Email us, TheSportsFix@AOL.com. Can't use the phones because Mike Brandenburg currently resides there on the hotline. Mike, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Jerry. I feel like it's been 100 years since we talked.
I think it's only been a week, but you are correct in the way things have gone in the last week, man. It's been. I just thought, as you were saying that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I've missed some shows, but not Mike. Mike was here on time last week.
You missed some shows, and I was busy at the end of my school year, so I think it's been more than a week. It might have been two.
You may be right.
There are moments. Yeah, there are moments when things happen, and I'm like, God, I got to remember to bring that up with Jerry, and then I feel like I could fill like a 6-hour show today with probably the things I've thought of. I thought of so many things, I forgot most of them at that time.
Well, that happens to me too, even just in general during the weekends, especially when I've got a million things or I'm traveling and I'll be like, I got to remember to do this on Monday or whatever. Same thing there. But man, obviously, we're starting Cavaliers here talking about the first four games. And I mentioned at the beginning, I've so far kind of contained it to last night, or game four here, because that's what was happening now. But I really didn't get to speak much on the other two games either. And so, you know, I mean, really, you could see that the Cavaliers really set the pace, the tone, everything in this. That was the biggest difference last night, which is what you expected. If you didn't get that, then this was going to be a clean sweep through here for the Cavaliers. And the Warriors came back. They fought. They made some adjustments. But I go back to what I said, and I'm going to ask you and start with this. Defensively, I say if you're the Cavs, you held Golden State on a good night for them to 103 points, just a hair over 100, which is right around where you're trying to keep Golden State. I say if the Cavs don't go, what was it, 4-for-17 in the fourth quarter? No, 1-for-14. It was whatever it was. I'll pull it up here in a second. It was statistically one of the worst. Here it is. Cavaliers were 2-for-18 from the field in the fourth quarter. 11.1 field goal percentage. It's the worst fourth quarter any team has had in the last five playoffs put together. So that'll just show you. I think it took a historically bad offensive stretch for the Cavs to even stop them from pulling last night's game out.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night was the game that if you're a national media person or if you're one of those people that, you know, looks at all the analytics and thinks that every game is completely played inside of a computer, I mean, last night was the game that you thought you were going to see this entire series. And I'm
right.
completely with you in addition to it being the game that, you know, all those people thought this series would be. I look at last night and the Cavs played two bad quarters in my mind, and they weren't even full quarters. They played a bad defensive first quarter.
Yep.
I'm not sure the exact number, but I want to say they gave up 31 points in the first quarter.
Yes.
They can't
31.
Let Golden State, and I think in a lot of ways, you can't let Golden State put up 30 points in a quarter. I mean, you've got to avoid the big run, and I think last night was a good example of that because they spent the next two quarters trying to fight their way out of that hole, and they almost did, but then in the fourth quarter, they had nothing left, Jerry,
nothing.
And then that's why I think they shot so bad. And, you know, defensively, like you said, they still played well in the fourth quarter. They're holding Golden State. And I would even say, you know, put a small asterisk on that, you know, 103 points because, I mean, you and I both know, you know, they cleared the bench and there wasn't
the
nearly
end, yeah,
the same
yeah.
intensity in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes as you know, the rest of the series has been in the way they've been playing defense and contesting shots. So that number's probably a little bit inflated, you know, by a bucket or two. So, I mean, I agree with you. You know, defensively, they held them right around the number that they wanted. You know, how they got there was probably not the best route. And I think, you know, I've felt I think a lot of people feel this way. You know, the first quarter is so key and kind of, you know, dictating the momentum of a game. But I think, you know, with the Cavs kind of undermanned, I think it's more important, and you can see that. I mean, last night is a prime example because they got themselves deep in a hole that they had to fight and battle and claw, and it really changed the look of the game versus, you know, the previous three contests against Golden State or really at any other point in the playoffs. So I to the people that, you know, I went to the game last night on the way home. My wife and I were riding the Rapid, and I had to keep checking my phone because I thought the series was over the way
right.
people were acting. And I haven't left my house today, but I haven't heard any reports of, you know, how long the lines are at the 480 bridge or anything. But I think everybody should just calm down. And, you know, I share season tickets with a friend of mine, and he was definitely down in the dumps too. And I just text him back, you know, calm down. You know, let's just play these games out. You know, if the whole world tells you, you know, the whole world's been telling us after every win, that Golden
it's
State's
going
to turn it on, and this is still no contest. You know, let's just go ahead and play them out for fun. Let's just see how it
yeah.
goes.
Let's see what happens. You know, no, I'm totally with you. I will say this, and I'm not trying to rag on any fans out there or whatever. I understand getting emotional, but one thing that bothered me last night after the game was the reaction across my news feed that I saw. And it's not being upset. I get being upset. I get wishing that the Cavaliers had won the game and all of that. But, I mean, there was such a nasty tone to so much of it. Like, ah, well, the Cavs blew such a chance. They choked. It was the biggest game of the season, blah, blah. And, I mean, just a nasty edge to it that I'm like, see, that is what I don't like about certain types of sports fans. I get being up and down with the ebb and flow of the game. But when you flip like a dime to that nasty side of it, that bothers me because, you know, then you'll quickly, you know, let an athlete walk across the street without looking both ways, and all of a sudden that's a national headline. But, you know, have a bad game. Just like I said, it's one thing to be upset. Say, man, the Cavs lost. They missed a chance to win this one. And some of them are some people that I have long, lengthy conversations with here throughout the show that I interact with. And I see them, and I'm just like, I get it. You're emotional and all of that. But, boy, man, I mean, talk about going way off the edge. That just kind of gets me. And it's not like they showed up and said, we're up 2-1. We're going to take the night off tonight, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what you'd have thought.
Yeah, I would say a couple of things to that. I would say first, you know, it's easy to say, you know, don't freak out, and I make jokes about heads of the 480 bridge and things like that. But, you know, I hope people are emotional because that's what makes it fun. But, you know, don't go to the emotion of assuming that it's over. You know, the Cavs have to win 2 out of 3. They're going to have to win one on the road. They just did that. I don't know if anybody remembers, but if you would just look back over the last 10 days, they just did that. So, I mean, I know it's not easy. I know it's not a guarantee. I know they're the underdog, but they literally just did that within the last week. So, again, let's just go ahead and play it out and see what happens before we all, you know, bag it and say, here we go again. And the other thing I would say is, you know, I mean, if you're a Clevelander or a Cleveland fan, if you've ever closed your eyes, and I think we all have, if you've ever closed your eyes for a moment and thought about what the day would be like when a Cleveland team wins a championship, and you think about, you know, who you'd be with and how you want to celebrate and what the parade would be like. I mean, did anybody ever close their eyes and envision a series that would end in a 4-1 win? I mean, was that what people were expecting? I mean, if you've had that dream, I would like you to, you know, please, you know, call me off the air and dream some lottery numbers for me too. Because, I mean, believe me, if and when the day comes that a Cleveland team, you know, wins a championship, hey man, it's going to be hard earned and there's going to be ups and downs and Mike, you know, I mean, I wouldn't expect it any other way than to go 6 or 7 games. And, you know, I would say, you know, win or lose this series, you know, you haven't eaten your last, you know, your last Tum yet for this series. So again, you know, if you thought it was going to be easy, I'm not sure why, because Cleveland, I'm pretty sure, is synonymous for not easy. So,
look, Mike,
you know,
Mike,
sit back, enjoy the ride, and, you know, we'll all have ulcers together for the next week.
I hear you, man. I absolutely, absolutely agree with you. I've been telling some people, actually. I'm like, come on, do you really think? I mean, how else would the first championship in 51 years come to Cleveland? Except with the way that this has played out. And I mean, everything from losing all the guys during the playoffs. I mean, losing one guy in the first round and losing another one in the finals. And then, you know, it's top guys, not just guys. Not like we're just losing the bottom of the roster. You know, it's not like, no offense, but not like Haywood sprained an ankle in practice or something like that, man. And what would make you think it would be anything less than all of that? And think about this. People call that 76 run, the miracle of Richfield and all of that. I'll tell you what, and that they put that up as the greatest, you know, Cavs, you know, moment, emotional run, all of that. Man, no offense to anybody back in 76. I know that was innocent and it was the first real run for the Cavaliers, but this is a miracle run right here. And I know some people won't agree because of LeBron and the shadow that he gets, but come on, I say to anybody, take the Golden State Warriors and tell me who else the Cavs are playing in the finals right now if the Warriors lost, you know, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson or Steph Curry in the first round and the third round of the playoffs. Just let me know, are we playing the Rockets right now? Are we playing the Clippers? Because we're not playing the Warriors. I know that.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think if you remember back, we did a show maybe about 2 months ago. I think it was the one I was on my way home from the Masters, and I was like in a mountain in West Virginia. And you asked me if there was, you said something, I don't remember the exact words, but something along the lines of, you know, you would be happy with any kind of end of a Cavs season. And I really kind of argued with you because at that point I said, no, they're the best team in the NBA and everything's clicking. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying championship or bust, but I'm not, you know, I'm not settling for a good run through the playoffs
right,
and say, well, it's too early. And I've never been accepting of that. And I'm not right now. Okay. The Cavs are 2 wins away from a championship and, you know, it's there on the table.
Yes.
You know, they got to make adjustments and see what they can pull off. But with all that said, I mean, I've said in the last week, 2 weeks, I mean, first of all, if you are a Cavs fan and you haven't, you know, 100% forgiven LeBron James, I don't know what else you could ask for from that guy in the last couple weeks, because
oh yeah, I'm there.
He's put it all out there.
Yes.
All out there on the line. And in terms of this team, I don't think it's going to happen. But if they go and they get boat raced in the next two games and this is all they have left, Jerry, and it ends in a fizzle, I don't think they owe us anything because they have put it all out on the line. I mean, Matthew Dellavedova is turning into a national icon. And the Cavs, no matter what they say, we're actively looking for a backup point guard all the way to the trade deadline because they felt he was their weakness. Okay. They're playing with seven guys. And one of those guys is James Jones. I mean, James Jones is like 153 years old, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, they have given all of us everything they can, and I don't think they owe anyone anything. When Mike Miller is out there and can barely walk, his back is so bad and diving all over the floor. For all the times that we talk about, and we will soon. I mean, when the season's over, NBA free agency starts fast. You know, for all the times that we talk about, athletes and it being all about the money. The last 2 weeks, I think, have been really fun because I don't think any of it's about the money. I mean,
I agree.
Heart and grit and hustle and in a lot of crazy ways. This reminds me of a high school basketball team that probably could never do it again, but they're doing it right now. And right now, they think they walk on water.
I'm with you in every word that you just said. You know what's funny is I was going to go here anyway, and you kind of set me up for it by talking about Mike Miller and James Jones. As we're talking, that idiot, and I don't care. I'll use this term. I don't care. That idiot Brian Windhorst, another I get an ESPN alert as you're saying that says the newest story by Brian Windhorst says Cavaliers players privately grumbling that Coach David Blatt must use more of the bench. Hold on a second. I want to know who's telling you that, because unless it's one of the three broken down players on the bench that haven't played yet, what else are we supposed to, I'm curious, who else is supposed to play? Is Lazarus available to come play point guard for the Cavaliers? Is Spike Lee showing up with a Cavs jersey on? We can jump him in the game. Who else are the Cavs supposed to play? Who else? They can't even get 5 minutes out of Mike Miller. Are we supposed to have Perkins in there? Are we supposed to let Draymond Green run circles around Kendrick Perkins so that David Blatt can get the blame for this instead of the Cavaliers just running out of gas at the end? Because that's what that article is right there, is another blatant way to say when the Cavs win, it's because LeBron James puts on a cape and carries 14 men and a coaching staff to a title. And when the Cavs lose, it's because that idiot David Blatt can't handle LeBron James.
Yeah, you use the word idiot. I'll use a word that's maybe not as sharp, but I
don't
think
like
it's just as shameful, which is sheep, when it comes to Brian Windhorst.
I'm
embarrassed for him because I don't know that he realizes how embarrassing he's become. I'll be the first to admit, when LeBron was here the first time, and he worked for the Akron Beacon Journal and then for, the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. I would read him daily. If I heard he was coming on the airwaves, he's the kind of guy I would stop and, I would sit in my car for 10 more minutes to listen to him. I'll speed up and run a stop sign so that I don't have to listen to him now, if that's what it takes. I'm just embarrassed for him since he took the job at ESPN. I mean, to me, he just drives the ESPN machine of creating news. They don't report news. They create news. They create storylines.
Yes.
What is he? I mean, by definition, he's not a beat writer. He's not the Cavs beat writer for ESPN. That's Dave McMenamin.
Yep.
He doesn't cover any team.
He's on the LeBron beat. I don't know.
What's that?
He's on the LeBron beat. I don't know, man.
I guess. I mean, he's on the making news beat. I mean, he has reported the most dissension. He gets he gets credit for reporting the most David Blatt dissension stories of any writer. I mean, you could take all of his for the whole year, add them up, and they don't equal everyone else's in the nation.
Mike,
so
Mike,
I mean,
just in the last month,
a driving news story.
Just in the last month, you can take Windhorst straight from his own mouth in just the last 30 days. You can know for a fact that when this season ends, David Blatt is going to be replaced. LeBron James is considering all of his options. Kevin Love has got his bags packed already. J.R. Smith, all of these things. Everybody's got an issue. Everybody's got an option that's not going to be used or that wants to leave. For some reason, the Cavaliers are the first team to be two games away from the NBA Finals, to hate each other, to all be having their eyes set on where they're going next year, to have a coach that can't stand on his own two legs. Thank God LeBron can carry all of these guys the way he has.
No kidding. I mean, we just talked for 20 minutes about the grit that this team has shown, and this knucklehead shows up at the same time and says that there's dissension in the locker room.
He's not the only one, though. He's not the only one, Mike. The national narrative has been killed. First off, Jeff Van Gundy and those announcers cannot be any more anti-Cavaliers, in my opinion, in their bias. I mean, to them, the Cavaliers are LeBron James and others, and that is it. And that is all. I mean, every foul call is questionable if it favors the Cavaliers. Every referee call is a wrong call if it favors the Cavaliers. Jeff Van Gundy can't let 30 seconds of airtime go without making a snide comment that has to do with the Cavaliers. But not just on the broadcast, the ESPN guys, all the national narrative. Like you said at the beginning of this, last night's game wasn't the one game where Golden State had things go their way. It was, the other games were lucky for the other three games where the Cavs dictated the pace.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
That was the lucky stuff. Now we're seeing what we expected all along, you know? Like Golden State's just been playing bob and weave for the first three games and letting the Cavs get their confidence up or something.
Yeah, My best suggestion to any sports fan, and I think I've said this before, first, don't turn on ESPN. I mean, if you see that, I mean, to me, and I'm not even talking about the Cavaliers. I mean, you find me the last story that ESPN discovered, researched, and reported on their own. It doesn't happen. They report what other people went out and reported, or they make up their own news. They're in the market of Johnny Manziel, LeBron James, Tim Tebow, polarizing figures. They're a lot closer to TMZ than they are, you know, Yahoo anymore. I mean, if you want news, if you want good sports news, read Yahoo, okay? Because they have much better writers. They research and report. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski
is
better
good.
Than any NBA writer that ESPN has.
Yep.
So, and to me, I mean, I can say, you know, the nice thing about networks and cable anymore is every sport has their own TV, you know, their own TV channel. I watch MLB Network. I watch NFL Network. I watch NBA TV. I really don't need ESPN. I can be honest with you. I really don't watch ESPN. I'm going to embarrass myself, but someone told me that Lindsay Zarniak was was the number one anchor on ESPN. I had no idea. I mean, I know who she is. I don't want to say I didn't know who she was, but I had no idea that, like, she's their go-to person. I had
no
clue.
I'm with you. I don't know their staff anymore. I don't know any of – there's so many of those guys I think of, and I see them, and they go, oh, no, they're not with ESPN anymore. Like, oh, man, that's how much attention I pay.
All the ones that you like and respect work somewhere else. So why is that? I mean, ESPN used to be, you know, your dream job, and I think for younger people it probably still is. You know, but why do so many people that work there and have been so successful are content to go somewhere else? Well, there's a reason, okay? So, I mean, to me, I'm ESPN. I'm too old for ESPN anymore. That's just kind of the way I feel. And you know, I don't want to sound like I have all the answers to the world, but I like to think I'm old enough and I'm smart enough to make my own decisions or read stories and come up with my own opinions. And I don't need ESPN to kind of try and make news up for me. And I think the other thing I talked about with you one time during the Cavs season, I knew that this would happen with LeBron. I mean, he's just a polarizing figure. There's always some kind of underlying story. Somebody told somebody who's next door neighbor told somebody kind of story. I just made a promise to myself really at the beginning of the year that I was going to do my best to avoid all of that. And I don't, again, I don't read ESPN. I don't read a lot of the national stuff. And for me at the beginning of the year, the guy that I like now is I really like and respect Jason Lloyd. I read almost daily. And for the most part, after I read him, I just turn it off. And in a lot of ways, I mean, I've told friends, I like to pretend like it's 1985. I read Jason Lloyd. He's like my newspaper that comes to the door every day. That's the story that's there. And I read it. I make up my own decisions and I go the other way. I don't listen to all the noise as to, you know, what Kevin Love ate and how that depends on, you know, what he's feeling as to whether he's going to stay or go in Cleveland. No matter how many times they ask him and he says he's going to stay, they keep saying that that's not the case. I mean, that guy is going to go down. If he leaves, I'll be the first to say, I mean, he's told 10,000 lies then, Jerry, because every time someone asks him, he says, yeah, I'm staying. I hope to return.
I know.
Oh, Kevin Love's unhappy.
I know. I agree with what you're saying. Absolutely, positively, 100%. And I love Jason Lloyd. And I think him and Sam Amico are pretty much the two around here that know what they're talking about when it comes to the Cavaliers on a day-to-day basis. But, yeah, I like Jason Lloyd, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, pick one, go with them. Or, you know, I mean, if you want to read both, knock yourself out. You know, again, just make your own decisions. But I don't listen to ESPN, and you know I'm embarrassed for, you know, somebody
I'm sitting here.
You should be embarrassed.
as you're saying that, I'm scrolling down through this here because I was actually curious I'm saying this to you, to everybody. Who exactly are the Cavs not playing with the exception of Sean Marion? I mean, who else are we not? Is that the big thing, or is it that we're not playing Sean Marion? Who else are we not playing? I mean, it's not like...
I mean, does anybody think that they would have won last night if they didn't play Sean Marion? I mean, was he...
No, but
I mean, did? I mean, was he...
Do we have anybody
difference?
Else? Am I forgetting somebody? I'm trying to think of everybody on this roster. Like, is there some missing body that I'm losing track of here? Like, oh, I forgot. We've got this guy that we're not even playing. No! Except for Sean Marion. I mean, unless you want to play Haywood or Perkins, who else is going out there at this point? That's it. That's your team. That's what you've got. And even Golden State, who is the deepest team in the NBA, they're only playing seven guys. So what does that say when they won't even play their eighth guy, and their eighth guy is probably twice as good as our sixth guy?
Yeah, you could start on the Cavs right now.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, if you were just playing in the backyard, you'd just be like, come on over to our team. Now you're the third best player.
I'm that's it. We're preaching to the choir here, man. But apparently some Cavs are upset.
The mummy.
Oh, the wolf man,
except
the mummy, somebody.
Listen to this like it's scripture. Everything else, tune out the noise.
That's it, man. Tune out the noise, baby. So that's what the Cavaliers have to do to get rid of that and go back to where we're making some sense. That's exactly what the Cavs have to do. Go to Golden State. If they go and play the way they played the first two games at that place, they can win that game and they can put themselves in a great position coming back home for game six. I think that, I'll tell you, I actually think it works out too. This is the one other 3-day break here between the games, because otherwise it's been every other day. You know, now they've got that third day mixed in. They had it between 2 and 3, and now here this one, and then it's the 3 and, you know, every other day from here on out. But maybe that extra 24 hours, you know, allows you to heal up a little bit as well, because to me it feels like that's what the Cavs need more than anything else, is just an opportunity to rest and come back out with the energy. And I think LeBron has always talked about wearing the black hat and being the villain on the road. He's always been a very good road team killer when he's motivated. And I think if they've got energy, they can use the energy in the building against the Warriors and go out there and do just like they did in those first two games.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I mean, we'll find out what they have left in the tank. But I agree with you. The extra day works to their benefit. And, you know, again, I mean, if you're going to go into a 2 out of 3 for the NBA championship and you have to play them on the road, I mean, importance of game 5, I mean, goes without being said. You don't want to lose that game, because then obviously you got to win the last two,
yes,
and that becomes,
yes,
you know, quite a daunting task. But it's easier said than done. But like you said, if they come with the same effort that they had in the first three games, I like their chances in game 5, and they win game 5. They'll come home to a town that I can't even, you know, we talk about, you know, envisioning what the parade would look like or what winning it would be like. I can't envision what downtown and what the area would look like on the day of leading up to that game. There would be so much energy. I don't even know how to describe it.
It would
be nuts. So
I know.
I think, you know, totally to their advantage, that would work. If you win game 5, I mean, I would feel like the Cavs are heavy, heavy favorites coming home, because they'll blow the roof off of the queue.
Tuesday is going to be amazing no matter what. I really think you're guaranteed the greatest atmosphere in probably the history of, at least recent history of Cleveland sports, if not all time, as far as an atmosphere. And I think that's win or lose on Sunday, because you're either going to have to win to keep the season alive, to keep the dream alive, or you're going to be in a clinch situation at home. And I think either way, you're going to see a scene at the queue on Tuesday for game 6 like you've never seen if you're a Clevelander before.
Yeah, I agree. One way or the other, Tuesday is basically going to be like Zero Dark 30.
That's it.
Cleveland.
Yes.
You know, if Tuesday is Zero Dark 30, I don't even know what game 7 would be Friday night. I mean,
yes.
I don't know if we have words for that. I don't know. People will just be walking around just muttering to themselves, spinning in circles. No one will know what to do.
Absolutely. I can't wait. So, hey, you know what? Let's put it down to it. What do you think? I think I'm going to say it, man. I think that the Cavaliers go and take this one, and I think they win game 5. I think it's a hard-fought game once again, but I think the Cavaliers re-grab control of this series, and I think they're going to win game 5. What do you think happens?
I feel like I was the only person on the Cavaliers bandwagon that don't panic when they were 19-20. I can't pretend to lie and say that I didn't have some panic when Kevin Love got hurt and at the beginning of the Bulls series. But I've been riding the bandwagon when even LeBron was laid up in the middle of the year. So I know I texted you before the series started and said Cavs in 6, and you know I'm gonna stick to my prediction. It's still on the table, so I'm not backing away from it. I like their chances. Certainly both teams know the importance of game 5. They'll lay it on the line. But, you know, I know it's easy to say it's like the answer for everything. But the Cavs still have the best player in the series. They still have the best player in the world. And, you know, he equalizes a lot of things. And he, like you said, loves playing the villain on the road. And so, you know, I like their chances. It'll even the score, and I'm sure it'll go to the wire. But I'll take the Cavs in game five and some kind of zero dark 30 crazy game six where they finish it.
From your lips, baby, I am with you, Mike. Let's see how this thing plays itself out. I cannot wait. You can't wait. And when we talk next week, there's three outcomes. We're either going to be talking about how close it came, being a champion, or previewing a game seven, man. So it could go any way over the next week, man. I can't wait for Sunday. Game five going to be huge.
You call Cavaliers. Me next Friday, and I'll be talking to you. We'll be going live to the parade downtown.
From your lips, Mike Brandenberry. Hey, real quick, speaking of downtown, Indians just vacated there. A little bit of a stumble on this homestand. Had a chance to get themselves above 500. They go 2-4 here yesterday. I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since Giovanni Urshela got called up here. I think some people surprised last weekend when the Indians made those moves, and then Francisco Lindor wasn't a part of that equation of guys getting called up. But Urshela took him a couple of games to get going. He caught his first RBI a few days ago. Yesterday, got that first hit, got that first home run. Sean Markham looked pretty good yesterday, too. He's continued to get better throughout the season, although he's had some fortuitous matchups as far as who he's pitched against, but it's still, he's definitely been encouraging to see. But what were your thoughts on the Urshela getting called up and the Indians finally shaking up that side of the infield?
I was pleasantly surprised, and I hope it's step one, not the step or the fix. In the 6 hours of sports takes I could give you, I feel like I could do 5.5 on just the Indians front office and their lack of urgency, not even just this year, but in the last couple years. I think they still think that they're on that 10-game win streak from 2013 in a lot of ways, but I was happy, thrilled that they brought up Urshela. You know, I know he's a guy I've talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
He kind of got off, you know, in just a couple days to a nice little start. I would preface things with, I've seen Giovanni Urshela play for about the last 4 years in the minor leagues. And I would say, don't be surprised if he struggles and don't panic if he does. The Indians would probably never admit it now, but I mean, when he was at the lower levels, he was not a guy that they really found or felt was a strong prospect. He was kind of undersized, and he really kind of struggled. I would say he originally progressed. Again, I'm sure the Indians would never admit to this, but because the bottom of their farm system was pretty depleted at the time. I mean, I think he was mostly promoted from Lake County to Carolina at the time just because they didn't have anyone else. And he didn't play very well at Lake County. I'm not sure he was deserving of that promotion. And he struggled at Carolina for, you know, a couple months and then really kind of found it and was the surprise of that season. And a lot of guys, and the Indians do it often, you know, when they play a good half of a season or even two-thirds, they like to start them at that same level the next year. And they didn't with Urshela. They started him, 2 years ago in Akron. And again, I would say that was, to me, when he looked very much in over his head. And I would say at that point, I mean, now he's only 23, but he was 21 at the time. And Jerry, I've jokingly said this to people before, but he looked like, if it was a high school baseball team, he looked like the sophomore they brought up from JV who was playing with all the upperclassmen, and you could look at him and he just didn't fit in. And after half of a season, again, he really kind of found it. And last year, it was like he grew up in a winter before your very eyes. And don't read anything more into that. I mean, that's part of why I say, I mean, the guy's young. I mean, he's only 23 now. He really kind of filled out. He hit the ball with a lot more pop. And they did start him at Akron last year. And what he did in like 3 weeks at Akron, he left them no choice but to immediately move him to Columbus. And he really played well all of last year at Columbus. So I kind of like preface people to be patient with him, because I think it's worth the reward. I wouldn't come on here and tell you that I think he's going to be, you know, an all-star someday, but I know someone who won't be an all-star someday, and that's Lonnie Chisenhall. I mean, Lonnie Chisenhall has had every and all opportunities for that job, and he's given them all away. And I think, you know, that's all the more reason. I mean, Giovanni Urshela will give you one thing guaranteed that Lonnie Chisenhall won't, and that's defense.
Defense
doesn't slump, and his glove has been at a big league level through his ups and downs, hitting, you know, in the minor leagues. So if he struggles offensively, you know, if a month from now you're looking up and he's not putting up offensive numbers, just stick with him for two reasons. One, he's catching the ball. And two, Lonnie Chisenhall would have probably been striking out and playing poorly also. So, you know, Chisenhall had 4 years of ups and downs. There are four different seasons of ups and downs. Give Giovanni Urshela plenty of time, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what you get out of him.
I can't wait. I agree. I was excited to see him called up. I was surprised like you, and I said this on Monday when I talked to Dan Wismar. What do you think? I think that this pretty much, to me, guarantees. I think Lonnie Chisenhall is packaged as part of some trade here this summer, whether it's for a stretch run or whether it's just as part of a trade for whatever reason. But I think that I can definitely see him now being a piece of some move that they make, whatever level, whether it's as a throw-in or whether it's as a significant piece, I don't know. But there is enough, I think, of what we've seen enough to move on. But I do think there's enough with the little tease that you saw last year that maybe you can get somebody to at least be interested in him as a piece of something. But I think he goes this summer. What do you think?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's probable because you're selling low. I mean, you're definitely selling low at this point. I would agree with you. Lonnie Chisenhall needs to go somewhere else, and I don't even mean that in a negative way, Jerry.
Right, you need a fresh start.
I mean, if Lonnie Chisenhall is going to turn around and become a quality Major League Baseball player, I hate to say it, but it's not going to be with the Cleveland Indians. I mean, he needs a new look. He needs a fresh start, and the Indians need a fresh start from him too. And so, in that regard, I mean, I'm sure they're going to look to move him. But the other thing where I say it's possible, not probable, I mean, you're definitely selling low on him, okay? And that will be difficult. I mean, if you want to be blocked, tweet me that you want to trade Lonnie Chisenhall for, you know, like Scott Kazmir or something, because I'll just block you, okay? You're selling low. For all the reasons you're happy to get rid of him, the other team knows why you want to get rid of him.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, from a fan standpoint, maybe something that people don't necessarily look at or realize right away is Chisenhall is already, you know, into the arbitration years, okay?
Yep.
So here is probably where it gets sticky to try and trade him, because I agree with you. I mean, if you're a young team looking to rebuild, I mean, Lonnie Chisenhall is a guy that you can acquire by buying low and hoping you can fix him, okay? But where you're not necessarily buying low is he's already entered the arbitration years. He went to arbitration this year. Believe it or not, he'll get a raise in arbitration. I mean, if you want to know anything about baseball, arbitration equals raise, okay? They mean the same thing. So he will stand to get at least the same, if not a little bit more, of a raise, regardless of how the rest of this season plays out, whether it's with the Indians or someone else. So if you are a team, unless you're willing to commit, you know, $3 or $4 million to Lonnie Chisenhall in 2016, why would you trade for him? Because I don't think the Indians will. I mean, at this point, I would think there's a good chance. I mean, he's a potential non-tender candidate at this point, Jerry. So he really only plays one position. He doesn't play it well. I mean, offensively, I don't feel like he's good enough offensively to try and do some kind of position change. I mean, we could do a show on that in itself. I think he needs me to avoid doing position changes. It's part of why their defense is so putrid. So, I mean...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If he's still on the Indians roster come November 1st, I mean, there's a good chance that they probably won't offer him off arbitration, and that means he'll be a free agent. So they've got to find a team that's willing to at least put on the table that they would commit to him past this year. So in that regard, yeah. I mean, if they move him, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'll be happy to be wrong. But if they move him, I don't think he plays much of a part of any kind of deal that brings back anything of quality. If Lonnie Chisenhall is dealt by himself, we're talking at this point, I mean, if it's any kind of prospect, it's going to be a low-level prospect. It's going to have, you know, expected, you know, major league debut of, like, 2018.
Yes.
You're talking an A-ball guy. If you get a higher-level minor leaguer, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a minor leaguer, not a prospect.
Well, you know, Mike, that's why I asked you, because I figured you would lay it out. And now that I listen to you, I go, okay, well, yeah, good luck moving that. And that is the other side of the discussion. I remember a year ago when Lonnie Chisenhall was hitting everything this side of the moon, and the question was, boy, now the Indians have a decision to make. Is this the real deal? Do you go all in, or do you move the guy while his stock is high? And this is that side of it where the stock doesn't stay high, and then you sit there and go, damn, we just traded him last year.
Yeah, and kind of to go along with that, not to kick guys while they're down, but to kind of point out the same thing. You know, a year ago, nobody wanted to give up Lonnie Chisenhall. And I think what people have to realize is you can't always sell your garbage to get somebody else's treasure. It just doesn't work that way. You can't always sell low on your guy to get someone else's prize. And I'll give you the second example. People, you know, came after me over the winter like I was discussing, you know, giving away Derek Jeter in the prime of his career. But I wrote a story in January about how the Mets have an excess of starting pitching and how they're desperate for a shortstop. And now would be the time to sell high on Jose Ramirez. And I didn't say trade for any of their marquee pitchers. I tossed out two names, Dylan G and John Neese. And they're two guys that, you know, our middle of the rotation guys, and people sent tweets to me like I was out of my mind for proposing such an idea, and how dare I give up on Jose Ramirez so quickly. How many people would make that deal today? Because I can tell you right now, one person that wouldn't, and it's the Mets. They wouldn't make that deal. You can't, you have to sometimes sell high. I mean, that's part of knowing your roster.
Yes.
And
yes.
If Jose Ramirez proves me wrong, so be it. But I have always thought that guy is a utility guy at the big league level. And I think, you know, I thought that's what he was a year ago. I thought that's what he was when I wrote it in January. And it's what I think he is today. He's struggled mightily. He will have better days. But he's not a potential future starting shortstop at the big leagues. But I think they could have fooled someone last winter into believing that he was and got more than they'll ever get for him again. You have to be willing to part with guys when they're sometimes at their peak. And those two, unfortunately, I think their peaks are past them.
And that was one where you could have, because you also had, hey, I'll go there right now, Lindor following up behind him. That was kind of a luxury of riches there for the Indians. And as you said, now that you've taken the sheen off, it changes the value there. Now, I mentioned Lindor, that name's out there. What do you think the timetable would be now? Obviously, the Indians say, hey, it's up to him. They've been waiting for him to put it all together and force the issue. What do you think here is the timetable that we're looking at now for Lindor? I mean, could he possibly spend the rest of this season not making it up until the late season call-ups, or is it just a matter of time?
I'll lose my mind if they don't call him up until September or not at all. Actually, I would go so far as to say if you get to September, they won't call him up because they held him back all year.
Yeah.
Why give up a month of service time? I mean, the September call-ups that you and I grew up with, where you get the rookie a taste before the next year, that doesn't happen anymore, Jerry. I mean, that's why Chris Bryant didn't get called up last year and they held him back, you know, for 2 weeks, because it's all about arbitration time. So if Francisco Lindor makes it to September, he's not coming up. So to answer your question, I think he'll be up. I think he'll be up sooner than later. I think it's hilarious. We talk about people trying to control messages. It always seems to leak when he's in a slump in Columbus, but nobody ever seems to mention.
He was player of the week last week. Yeah.
You know, the corner of Carnegie and Ontario seemed to forget to mention that their number one prospect was a player of the week in the International League last week. That just slipped their mind, I suppose. But God forbid, when he goes, you know, when he goes 6 for 35, that somehow always seems to, you know, hit the mainstream news. It's amazing how that happens. But I have to think that it's coming soon. The conspiracy theorist in me, part of me believes at this point, and I hate to say this, and I guarantee every Indians personnel person would go through the roof, but part of me wonders if they're holding him back because they know they'll sell tickets, and right now nobody's going because of the Cavs. And when the Cavs are done, I won't be surprised if we have ourselves a nice homestand and you know, right before the 4th of July, and all of a sudden Francisco Lindor shows up. But
brother,
I would think it's sooner than later.
Can you imagine seeing Lindor and Urshela this summer on the side of the infield together
They're best friends, too.
As well as the team, the rest of the team that the Indians – I'm just saying, man, now – things can get fun and interesting here. I know you were jokingly, well, not for you jokingly, but when you texted me about doing the show, you're like, yeah, and the Indians stink again. They didn't have the best homestand. I love this. The Tribe actually sent me this. They go, even with the 4-6 homestand, the Indians have won 6 of 11, 8 of 14, and 14 of 22. And I hear you on the 14 of 22. 6 of 11 is 6-5. Like, so that's kind of using semantics there. 8 of 14 is 8-6. I mean, so 14 of 22, I'll give you. That's a little bit of a trend there. But the Indians here head into now Detroit here, coming off of a missed opportunity. I didn't get your thoughts, though. What did you think, Sean Markham, yesterday? Again, he's been kind of fortuitous with the opponents that he's lined up against so far here. I mean, Seattle's not the scariest offense, but he went out there and threw a two-hitter. And I think that he has continued to show that there may be some tangible developments out of him for these last 2 years that the Indians have been keeping him around.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Sean Markham is, in my mind, he's the definition of what a fifth starter is.
Yes,
which is,
yes.
You know, if you have a month of starts, say you have 6 starts, he's going to go out once and he's going to pitch awful. And he's going to get his lunch handed to him. And he's going to pitch once, and he's going to pitch fantastic. And that was yesterday. And then he's going to give you 4 starts where he's going to give you about 6 innings, and he's going to give up 4 runs, And if you score more runs, you'll win. And if you don't, you won't. And that's what he is. To me, that's the definition of a fifth starter. And I feel like that is what Sean Markham's giving you. And I think that's great. I mean, for a guy who, you know, admits that when he was with the Mets, he was on the mound and he couldn't feel his fingers as they were holding the ball because he had nerve issues. I think some people forget he's not just coming back from, you know, I mean, he had Tommy John years ago, but this is a different, you know, rebound from a major injury than what we, I guess, you know, assume when pitchers get hurt. I mean, they're not sure that, you know, they weren't sure that he would ever pitch again. So I think he's doing a great job by being a fifth starter. And to be honest, no matter what anybody says, they don't have anyone else. I mean, he's their guy. I mean, unless you're holding out hope for the, you know, the return of Josh Tomlin, or if you think TJ House is going to find it. I mean, to me, those guys they're all fifth starter guys.
I agree with you. I said to Dan the other day, I said, bro, with what I've seen from Markham here so far, and this was before this last start that he just had here this week against Seattle, I said, that works for me as a fifth starter. Almost exactly what you just said. I said, man, wouldn't you take that all day? That is, we're not talking about your third guy, or even your fourth. We're talking about your fifth starter. And I think that's fully acceptable and perhaps even above acceptable for what you look for at a fifth starter. I agree with what you said there totally. And that's encouraging because the depth had started to run thin there, man. The one guy who wasn't a part of the early equation perhaps saves the day there for you. Indians now, Detroit. How about this? These two teams, what, a game and a half separated, two games or something like that in the standings. Tribe only 1-8. Different, obviously, team from the early season, and they have gotten better a little bit here offensively and warmed up into the month of June. What do you expect to see here? You're going to see the first Verlander appearance of the season during this one. You've got a couple of really good pitching matchups here throughout the three games. What do you look for in this one?
I think it'll be interesting to see what Verlander has. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, pardon the pun, but, I mean, it's easy to see him kind of, like, flaming out in his career. You know, is he going to rebound and be some kind of pitcher, or is he going to, you know, soak up $20 to $25 million from the Tigers for the next 5 or 6 seasons and really provide them with nothing? So, I mean, not that you can get all of that from one start, but, I mean, certainly there's a lot of doubt there versus the quality of pitcher he was a couple years ago. So I think that'll be interesting to see. I think they get David Price, which I think is always a tough matchup for them because they struggle against lefty starters for sure, and he's as good as any. But, you know, to me, it's the same theme. I mean, the Tigers may not be leading the division, but until they prove that they have an answer to beat them, I mean, you can't keep struggling the way they have against any team. And, you know, I was critical of the Indians for not panicking at the beginning of the season. And to me, this is an example why they should have been more concerned and panicked when they didn't play well, because now they're in a situation where they're kind of in a scrum with a bunch of teams in their division, and they're still in last. I mean, they're 7 back in the division. You know, you can dress it up like the Indians do and say they're only a couple games from third, but what does that get you? I mean, third place doesn't usually get you anything. So, I mean, they've dug themselves a big hole, and you know, like I said, you know, about a month ago, they've got to go on a stretch of like 22 out of 27, and would you say they've won 14 of 22? I mean, that's a prime example. Look, they've won 14 of 22. It sounds something like 22 of 27 or just short of it.
It's not.
It's much shorter of it, but they've made up 2 games in that time. It's going to take a lot of work to get back in this. You can't dig a hole as deep as they did and just say it's early. And that will forever be infuriating with me to pretend like the first quarter of the season doesn't count, because I mean you could take this Indian season and it's the same way as the way the Cavs played last night. They fell behind in the first quarter and they spent quarters 2 and 3 doing everything they could to try and dig out of the hole they created, and you just can't do that.
Mike Brandenberry, I agree with everything you just said, baby. From DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com, talking some Cavs, talking some Indians here. It'll be a, it should be a fun sports weekend. Tribe and the Tigers, always always a big rivalry deal. And then Game 5 on Sunday, the Cavs and the Warriors. Man, can't wait to see how it shakes out, my friend. What are you guys working on this week over there at DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com?
We have a great story that I should have teased when we were talking about how Lonnie Chisenhall has struggled, but our good friend Jonathan Knight has a story up right now about Lonnie Chisenhall and, unfortunately, how eerily similar his numbers are to the Matt LaPorta era. And they're much too close. It's much scarier than I can even draw for you. So check that out if you will. I'll put a rated R rating on it because the numbers don't lie.
Tell you what, what a difference a year makes, brother. What a difference a year makes. What was it just a year ago? Well, 3 days ago, it was the 1 year anniversary of Lonnie Chisenhall's record setting day last year when he was in the middle of that crazy run and he had the big game, and that was, I think it was June 9th of last year. And fast forward a year, and he's it's not going so well. But just shows you what a fickle game it is, and how quickly everything.
It's true, and you know, I mean, I think that's the thing. I'll defer to the Indians for all of their hesitation to bring up young players. Even when they play well, it can still slip so quickly. And I mean, no better example than Lonnie Chisenhall. A year ago, we thought the guy had found it, and 365 days later, we can't drum up any way that he's worth a lot of trade value. So as desperate as I am for them to change this roster and go to some of their younger players, I guess that's the fair counter-argument to my pleas, I suppose.
Mike Brandenberry. I love it. You got that right, too, man. It's a fickle world for sure. Mike Brandenberry, DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com, and with us here every week on the show. Enjoy the Tribe and the Tigers, and enjoy Game 5, baby, as we turn the corner on this NBA Finals, and we'll see what happens next week. By the time you and I talk, we could go a whole host of different ways.
I hope so. I hope I'm calling you live from the parade.
I'll be there with you. If it's the parade, I'll be there with you, man. I'm pretty sure I can broadcast. I can broadcast right from the phone. Yeah, exactly, man. From the phone. I think I've got it. I think I can just. It's on. We'll be doing it from the parade, man. So let's see what happens, Mike.
Hey, this would be a fun week. I mean, if nothing else, win, lose, or draw. I mean, enjoy it. I mean, if you're a sports fan, I mean, these are the weeks. This is why you watch games for years and years and years. So. I mean, as excruciating as it is, and, you know, enjoy it, too. Sit back and have fun. I've told people already, you know, this Cavs season, this is one of my favorite seasons ever as a Cleveland sports fan, and I still don't even know the ending.
I'm with you. That's the best way to put it, man. Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. Good stuff, my man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
You, too. Take care, my friend.
You got it. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. It's been a while, so it was good to have a lengthy conversation. Man, we're up against it. See, I told you it'd be an hour, and there I go. I jinxed myself because we're a full 30 minutes over that. It's all good, though, you guys. Had to catch back up. Had a lot to talk to about the Cavaliers and about the NBA Finals, and all of that continues Sunday. You've got a Game 5, a huge one, coming up from Oracle Arena in Oakland. Cavs and the Warriors. Cannot wait. We'll be talking about that on Monday with Dan Wismar from EverybodyHatesCleveland.com. Indians and Tigers. We'll be recapping that this weekend. Some great pitching matchups, as Mike and I said. Danny Salazar kicks things off for the Indians. Game 1 against David Price. Carlos Carrasco and the debut of Justin Verlander this season. That'll be the Saturday game. Corey Kluber, Mr. Cy Young, taking on Alfredo Simon, who's having a great season as well for the Tigers. Should be a fun series this weekend, Indians and Tigers. And, of course, as I said, Sunday you've got the big basketball game coming up to end the weekend. But that's not all. The Gladiators, Cleveland Gladiators, heading down to New Orleans, taking on the New Orleans Voodoo. Gladiators, 6-5 on the season. They're four games back from the Philadelphia Soul in the division here. The Voodoo, 2-9. This is already the third matchup of these teams this season. Gladiators 2-0 against the Voodoo, looking to make it a clean three-game sweep here. 63-44 last week. Gladiators snapped a two-game losing streak over Las Vegas. The Voodoo's coming in on a five-game losing streak here in this one. Last time these two teams played, as I said, both times this season, Gladiators with the victory. Colin Taylor heads into the game just 9 yards away from 1,000 on the season as he continues to do well for the Gladiators there from the wide receiver position. My man Doug Plagans will be calling all the action 8:30 p.m., and we'll get Dougie on the show next week and catch back up. It's been a couple of weeks with all of the excitement and craziness and missed shows going on, but we'll definitely catch back up with Doug Plagans. There's some fist fighting going on this weekend, too. UFC 188, it was put off once before. Cain Velasquez back from his knee injury. He is the current UFC heavyweight champion. He will take on the interim champion, who was the champion during his injury, Fabricio Werdum. It's going to be a big one here. Velasquez, Werdum, the winner. Ooh, will they be facing Stipe? Perhaps if he can come through. We'll be talking about that soon. Who is going to be the next contender for the title? But we'll find out who they're contending against here as Cain gets his shot to eliminate. There can only be one is the tagline on this one. You've got the interim champion and the permanent champion doing it up here. You got Melendez and Eddie Alvarez going as well. Nate Marquardt's on the card here. I saw they had a couple of women's fights here earlier on in the preliminary card. They've got a pretty good card here coming up for UFC 188, headlined by the title unification match of the heavyweights. Velasquez and Werdum should be a lot of fun. There's fights to start the weekend, to end the weekend. We're going to talk about it all on Monday, as I said. Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan and Everybody Hates Cleveland will be here. We'll be talking Tribe, talking about the Cavaliers and the Warriors, all the news of the weekend and more. Same bad time, same bad channel, live at noon, baby, right here across the Sports Fix Radio Network. We love you, Cleveland and beyond, and we'll see you Monday right here on The Fix.
So much hate up in this itty bitty city. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Put your hands up in the air, everybody say yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.